Mondays and Fridays, we grab wisdom in the form of Brother Johnny today from Houston, Texas. Johnny!
Morning, Stevie J.
Mike Ditka is in Chicago. He's the Hall of Famer, the icon, the all-around great guy. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys.
All right, we begin with the NFL draft. Mike, a bunch of big lugs, a first time in 40-plus years at lineman. Offensive lineman went in the first five picks, I think three of the first five or four of the first. Just what's the reason? That's all that's left, or what's the reason here?
Well, you know, and I believe this, and I'm going to say that, first of all, they're good football players. I looked at the tape on those guys. They're outstanding. But it's kind of a safe pick. If you screw up and you take a quarterback or a running back, that high and it doesn't pan out, there's more criticism. You don't start building your football team by picking a left tackle. I'm sorry, you don't. You must have a quarterback. You must have a quarterback, and maybe the quarterbacks weren't worth picking, and that's a possibility. So I'm not going to go there, but I'm saying you build around it. When you get that leader on offense at the quarterback, then you give them the strong backside on the left tackle. And I really believe that you must take the best player available by position, best player by need available. Now, when I drafted Ricky Williams, we didn't do that, but we took a guy because I thought it would help the franchise. I mean, I thought it was a whole different deal down there. I thought we could build the whole franchise. Rally the whole city behind one guy, because here was a guy who was a hell of a football player, no matter how you want to cut it. Whether it was a good pick, a bad pick, or a lousy pick, I wouldn't argue that with anybody, but that's why I did it.
I like the pick, Ricky Williams, personally, because I think you could build something around a guy like that. But Elway did say, Mike, that this year he was glad he wasn't in the quarterback market.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. There wasn't...
Well, you know,
John,
it's hard to comprehend. I don't know. Maybe these guys aren't that good. Maybe their grades aren't that high. But to go out and say you're going to pick five offensive linemen that are going to be better than supposedly the best quarterback, I don't know that you can find value out of that. You're going to tell me I got a left guard. Fine. You can find people. I mean, you can find people, and you can plug them in, and they can play pretty good if you got good people around them. But the quarterback position, you can't plug somebody into that. They have to be the guy. They have to be the guy in control, the leader of your football team. And you know, that's what I really believe. So I'm not going to argue with anybody. I think it's all. I think when you go out and pick that many linemen and or linebacker or defensive end, I think it's a safer pick. I really do. I don't think you're going to ever get the amount of criticism if they don't pan out as you would if you took a running back or a quarterback. So I'm just glad when the Bears pick Peyton, they pick Walter Payton.
Yeah.
And I'm glad when I pick McMahon, I pick McMahon. When I pick Jim Covert, I pick Jim Covert. But that was the best player available by position and need. I needed a left tackle.
That
position.
The Saints need defense, and they were pretty happy
to
have Kenny Vaccaro, the safety Texas, left out at pick number 15 because we can use a good safety.
Yeah, he looks like a versatile guy, too, Vaccaro for the Saints. And, of course, the Bears, Kyle Long is Howie Long's son. Again, a lineman. Was that a surprise?
Yeah, and I like that pick. I really do because I think the Bears feel the need. I think right now when you look at them, they've got the quarterback. They've got some good receivers. Now, yeah, they could probably use another receiver, but, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't protect people.
Yeah.
And Howie Long, I don't know if he's like his dad and his brother, pretty tough guy. I like that toughness that's going to come to the football team through a guy like that. And I think that's a good, solid pick. I really do.
Amazing how much goes into this draft and how it has evolved over the years. I think, Mike, you heard the next day that the Bears picked you number one back in the day when you were drafted. This has become quite the show at Radio City Music Hall. It got national television, worldwide audience, guys on cell phones. It's crazy.
Well, you know, I think I got a phone call, and it said the Bears picked you. No one knew about the draft in 1961. Nobody cared about it. I mean, it was pro football was just... It really in its infancy, and it started breaking loose right after that. I mean, you had the big game in the 50s between the Colts and Giants,
yeah.
But you know, it really, it didn't start until then. So it's kind of crazy, but He called me and he said, you were picked by the Bears, the fifth player in the first round. And fine. I didn't know what the hell that meant anyway, so... You know, I know if I was going to the Bears, it didn't mean a lot of money, but I didn't even know that at that time.
It's Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. It's ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. To Dallas we go as we cover other topics, as we always do. A nice moment at the Bush Presidential Library yesterday.
Let me say that I'm filled with admiration for you and deep gratitude for you about the great contributions you've made to the most needy people on earth. Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure to be here. They honor our son, our oldest son. And this is very special for Barbara and me. And thank you all for coming, and to all those who made this marvelous museum possible.
I want to thank you for your efforts when president to reform our immigration system and keep America a nation of immigrants. And I hope the Congress will follow President Obama's efforts to follow the example you set.
As we walk through this library, obviously we're reminded of the incredible strength and resolve that came through that bullhorn as he stood amid the rubble and the ruins of Ground Zero, promising to deliver justice to those who had sought to destroy our way of life. Mr. President, for your service, for your courage, for your sense of humor, and most of all for your love of country, thank you very much.
This is the first time in American history that parents have seen their son's presidential library. Mother, I promise to keep my area clean. I appreciate my fellow members of the former President's Club, 42, 41, and 39. I want to thank you all for your kind words and the example you have set. There was a time in my life when I wasn't likely to be found at a library, much less found one. For 8 years, you gave me the honor of serving as your president, and today I'm proud to dedicate this center to the American people. I want to thank you all for coming. Laura and I are thrilled to have so many friends, I mean a lot of friends, here to celebrate this special day.
Yeah, it was a very special day, Mike. I thought it was neat they all came together. Yeah, I thought it was, and it's Peggy Noonan. And the Wall Street Journal writes this morning that Obama won in 08 because he wasn't Bush. And now she says that Bush's popularity has risen extraordinarily because he's not Obama.
Well, you know, I thought the president's words were well said. I really did. And I think, you know, that you got to put politics aside and you got to understand when somebody, his father and him served the country the way the Bushes did, and their families. Somebody texted me how much they like Laura Bush, and I just say they're classy people, and they did a great job for our country. And hopefully, the president in office now will do the same thing. And when he's out of office, you know, people will say the same thing, and maybe they'll build a library in Chicago. And that's all good. I don't see anything the matter with that. I'm sorry, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. The only aisle that counts is America, the country, how we lead it, how we progress, how we do the things we're supposed to do. And no matter what we do, nobody's always going to agree. You know that. So it's not going to be like, he made a decision. Oh, the whole world likes it. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I was just watching something on TV. This guy's going around and he's getting people to sign a petition, and it's a hoax to repeal the Seventh Amendment. You know, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, I'm sitting there, and these people are signing it. They're signing it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They don't know what the hell they're signing. This is, well, Obama wants it, so they're signing it. Okay. But, you know, even, that's what they said, but, I mean, the guy, it was a hoax, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah, they'll follow anything. You got to be careful.
California, man, you'll find them all.
But, you know, that's five presidents, Stevie, including the current one, and, I don't know how old Jimmy Carter is, but the older Bush is the mid-80s.
89, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Carter.
Hey, wait a second now, guys. It's not that old.
That's right.
Well,
you're killing me.
He won in 76 and lost in 80,
yeah.
So holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, that's great to have everybody together. It really is, and it says a lot about our country. That,
yep. No, it was. I love
you put politics aside, yep, with something like this
for a minute. For
it's great. It was just great to see everybody, and it shows the power of America And it'd be wonderful if we could actually work together in Washington, as we just haven't been able to do it. But that moment, I thought yesterday, was wonderful. 7:45, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka will return after these messages from Flooring Services, Max Twin City Recycling, and Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
Back to politics. It was nice for a few seconds, wasn't
it? Right.
But yeah, that's just punitive. He's picking on innocent people. And it's the president. It's not Republicans.
Well, it's going to create a lot of problems. I mean, it is a shame, but it is one way of throwing the ball back in a court and saying, well, here's what happens when you cut spending. And basically, you could see it. It's not good. I mean, guys, I've heard some people now about some delays that are pretty crazy now.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. You're talking about $12.5 billion department that's doubled in the last 10 years, and we're asking them to cut 5%. And there's the 188,000 control. I don't know how many flight controllers are there. There's a lot of them. And they say, based on the structure of the law, they don't have the flexibility to cut non-essentials. They got to do it across the board. So Congress is rushing back to try and tweak it with another law, and as if that's going to happen.
Well, first of all, they don't pay any attention to the law anyway. That it's pure politics, and it actually infringes on the area of safety, and it's just that is despicable. At least cutting the White House tours was just a mean gesture that we were kind of rolling our eyes about. But you don't have to go to the White House and see it if they don't want you to. Flying around the country, that's our economy. I mean, it's just beyond.
Yeah, guys, look at the size of our travel business, our airline travel business in this country, and look at the number of people that are totally affected. You're talking about business and airports. You're talking about taxi drivers. You're talking about limousine. You're talking about everything that becomes affected by this. And I mean, it becomes far-reaching. It's not a simple thing. You know, well, we're going to lose a few controllers here or there. Well, it affects so many people. It's a far-reaching thing.
And it's totally unnecessary. I think it's another example of extremely poor leadership.
It's 7:50, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. Did they use chemical weapons in Syria?
U.S. intelligence officials have concluded chemical weapons were used in Syria, likely by the Syrian government. President Obama had declared chemical weapons use a red line that Syria should not cross. But Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says they're not discussing options just yet.
We'll be prepared to do that at such time that the president requires options.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says the administration must act to prevent further atrocities and develop plans for securing those weapons.
There's enough chemical weapons there to kill thousands, if not millions, of people.
But White House officials say there are still more questions that need to be answered first. At the White House, Mike Makowicz, Fox News Radio.
I would only say, Johnny, if you're going to say don't cross the line or there'll be consequences, don't say it if there's not going to be consequences.
Well, I think everybody knows there's not going to be consequences. They're not paying any attention. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, Mike saying don't do that. That's beyond the pale. I don't know if you have to make good on a threat. Because what are you going to do, attack another country? Because they're going to do that. And as far as credibility, when you make a threat, I agree you should have it, but we've lost that by now. No one's going to pay attention to what we're saying right now. But it's a terrible thing to use that kind of weaponry on your own people. It's a shame.
I don't know what you do about it, Mike.
Well, I don't think there's a whole lot you can do about it right now. I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, you look at the world and where we stand with Iran and some other people, I don't know that our role is really to go into Syria and say, I know what you say, you can't kill innocent people with chemical weapons and this and that, but I don't know that our role is the police dog of the world and we go in there and say, well, can't do this. I mean, that's up to the countries of the world, the United Nations. That was formed for a reason like that, to take some police actions in these cases. So if no one else cares, I mean, it's hard to see why America has to be, like, it's got to be thrown on our shoulders.
And we can't handle it. I think you're right.
No.
If it's a community of the world that all got together and made a sacrifice to stop that kind of injustice, I think we're for that. As far as one country, you go in there, and then we'll be the ones blamed for it.
Yeah, right.
So it doesn't work. There's not a whole lot we
no,
can do.
No, we'll be the war makers. You know, it's the same old crap.
Uh-huh.
And we have, and I agree. At that point, I would say, why? You know, Syria, I don't know enough about the country or the leadership, but I know they got some major problems. But they got major problems all over the Middle East.
Yeah. All right, you all know who Bill Maher is, right? HBO guy,
yeah.
Very liberal. Bill Maher, I haven't agreed with anything he's ever said, ever. I don't care for the guy. I don't watch a show. I did hear this clip, and because I agree with Bill Maher, I wanted to play it because it may never happen again.
Okay, so you're obviously the perfect person to have here today. You study this all the time, the mind of crazy people who do horrible things. I'm always interested to know how people like the people we caught today up in Boston can have two minds going at the same time. I mean, if you read what the older brother wrote on his on the internet, he said his worldview, Islam, personal priorities, career and money. And we see this a lot. I mean, the 9/11 hijackers went to strip clubs the night before they got on the plane.
But could I just interject? Look, it's not like people who are Muslim who do wacky things have a monopoly on it. We have hypocrites across faiths, Jewish, Christian, who say they're out for God and they end up doing
you know what?
Nice
that,
things.
Yeah. You know what? That's liberal bullshit right there. I mean, yes, they're all
Christian hypocrites.
No, there are.
You made
they're
a career
just,
on that.
They're not as dangerous. I mean, there's only one faith, for example, that kills you or wants to kill you if you draw a bad cartoon of the prophet. There's only one faith that kills you or wants to kill you if you renounce the faith. An ex-Muslim is a very dangerous thing. Talk to Salman Rushdie after the show about Christian versus Islam. So, you know, I'm just saying, let's keep it real.
All right, Bill Maher, agree with him, Johnny.
Hell yeah, I agree with you,
liberal,
but I don't agree with him.
You're right. I would have never heard that, Steve, ever, because
and don't
I,
listen.
As soon as I see him, I turn it off.
I do, too. And it's he said it's liberal BS. I edited it out, but it was like, wow. I mean, coming from him, that one took me by surprise.
I like it. Get real when you do try to make that comparison with Christianity, and I agree with him on that because it's a danger that it's hard for us to grasp. But yeah, Bill Maher, the new conservative.
that's right.
But that'll kill him right there.
I'm sure
he's going to take some heat from his liberal friends.
Oh boy, will he ever! Well, all right, that's going to wrap it up for today. It's always a pleasure. Are you going to watch round two today in the NFL draft, Mike?
I watched almost all of number one, and then I finally went to sleep right at the end. And they only did take the one quarterback in the first round, didn't they, Emmanuel? Was there a second one taken?
Yeah, Emmanuel, I think, was
that's
it.
The only quarterback. Geno
Smith
is the
only
not,
one
yeah.
taken. So, you know, and again, yeah, I try to watch some of it. I'm going to try to actually, believe it or not, I'm going to find out if I can hit the golf ball further than I hit it yesterday. It didn't go very far.
I tell you, Mike, you're still a fine player. You broke 80 this year once, right? Didn't you get?
I broke 80 a couple times.
Wow.
But I've also broken 90.
Yes, I mean, but still, if you can still hit 70-something,
yeah,
Johnny.
That's great.
That's Johnny Cachaturian scores
Johnny
there.
No, Johnny Cachaturian doesn't know anything about that. So,
Hey,
John, where are they playing? The TPC course in New Orleans?
They play out there, right, at the TPC.
Okay.
It's out to the west. It's a great course. It's a little far removed. I like the English Turn spot better when you, you know, Mike had David Duval staying with him 1 year. I remember that.
Wow.
Yeah, and they played at English Turn for years, and then they built a new course out towards the west, near West Wego, actually.
That's the Zurich Classic PGA stop in New Orleans, and it's a
Pete Dye course. It's a good course.
I'll tell you what, they're cutting it up pretty good.
Well, they like that to go low.
Well, it's clean in place.
Yeah.
I will call you guys Monday, but it's always a pleasure, and a lot of people comment how much they enjoy hearing both of you. Thanks so much again.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. It's Johnny in Houston, Mike Ditka in Chicago, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3, Fox News.